Luke chapter 10, and it's towards the end of it. And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." I wonder what the state of your mind is like today, because God is concerned about your state of mind and mine. We might be anxious, we might be worried, we might be just like Martha. The Bible says Martha was distracted. Perhaps tonight you're distracted. You've got many other things on your mind. You're worrying about work. You're worrying about family problems. Many other anxieties. Maybe even exams somebody worries about. Who knows? But Martha's state of mind was not as good as it should have been. And you know, when our state of mind isn't as it ought to be, there can come a lot of problems. Her life was hectic. She had invited Jesus and the folks in for a meal, and Mary wasn't helping her. She was just sitting there listening to Jesus. And so she was there, and she thought, "All right, we can get this sorted out." You see, life was becoming to her a burden rather than a blessing. And there are times in life when you feel life is a burden. And there's lots of people that when they get so worried and anxious about things, don't know what to do or what to say. There were several things that she had. First of all, she was critical of other people, especially her sister. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we can become critical of other people. I know it hasn't happened to any of you, but just in case it ever does, criticism of other people isn't always good. That's right. So she was becoming critical of others and wondering what she could do to get them to help. And not only that, she was questioning God. "Do you really care for me?" Now, she knew that God did care for her, because we know how she put it. But the thing is this, she said to Jesus, "Do you really care?" And sometimes when life is hectic, when problems are all around, we say, "God doesn't care. He's not answered this prayer of mine. He's not done that for me. I am worried, I'm anxious," and all things like that. But she was complaining. Oh, you know, we can say life isn't fair. And it's true, life isn't fair. She says, "I'm doing all this." She's sitting around doing nothing. And there she was. You remember the story of the prodigal son. He ran away with half his father's money, or a third of it, or quite a bit of it anyway. He went and lived a playboy life in the area where he went to, far away. And when he had lost everything, he came back, and his father was so pleased to see him, he killed a calf for him, put on him some fabulous clothes, gave him all sorts of things. And the older brother, who had worked all his life at the farm, says, "Hey, what's this? Life isn't fair." And you know, it's true. Life isn't fair. Some people get a lot of money. Some people have little. Some are healthy all their life. Some are dogged by ill health most of the days of their life. Oh, life isn't fair. Jesus never came to make life fair for you, but he did come to make a lovely change, you know. There was something else that was perhaps most important. She lost her focus in life. I don't know what your focus is, what it should be, or where it should be. But we should all have a focus in life as to what we're going to do, what we consider the most important. But Jesus used the word that was best translated, distracted. You've got your mind taken off onto other things, taken it far away. And so because of a hectic lifestyle, because of the busyness of life, she was distracted. There was something too. She was giving rather than receiving. A lot of people come to church and feel they've got to give. A lot of people talk about Christians and they say, how much do you want? I'll give you something. God's not interested in what you can give to him. He is interested in what he can give to you today. It's the most important thing, what God can give you today, because he can give you lovely, marvelous things. It's so wonderful. Yes, there it is. But you see, she had got out of sorts. A missionary had a lot of porters carrying stuff for him through the desert, not through the desert, through the jungle and everywhere. I guess he thought he needed all his commentaries and everything to take with him to where he was going to. And after 2 or 3 days, the porters all stopped and refused to go anywhere. They said, we are waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. And you know, we sometimes have to have a thought and think about it. You see, she thought she had the solution. And sometimes we feel if this happened and that happened, we would have the solution to our problems, our difficulties, and that would be all right. And she had the solution. She said, Jesus, you've just got to tell my sister to come and help me, and we will be all right. And Jesus didn't answer her positively. He answered her negatively. Oh, yes, there it is. Sometimes Jesus doesn't answer in the way we would like him to. You know, Peter thought he had the answer. He said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive a fella that's causing me grief? 7 times, is that enough? It must have been one of the disciples, and it must have been 6 times he had upset him and had forgiven him, and he thought he had only got one more to go. And Jesus said, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. You know, sometimes it's not always good to ask Jesus unless you're really prepared to take the answer all to heart, because that's it. You see, she was having a domestic. Well, we call it a domestic our way. Two sisters had fallen out. Jesus was caught in between, and everybody knew there was tension. You know, sometimes when you go to visit somebody and they're barely talking to one another, you know they've had a domestic and you're not sure whether you should be there or make a quick exit. Well, that's it. They had had a domestic. And oh, you know, domestics aren't serious things. They're things that happen every day to some people. Yes, they knew all about it. You see, Martha had her priorities all wrong. Jesus kindly corrected her. The way Jesus said it was very kind. Now, we don't always speak kindly to other people that have done things wrong. We are not always people that are thoughtful about folks that have got the wrong idea. We get all worked up, we start thumping the table, but Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you've got it a little bit wrong. It's not wrong, only one thing wrong, only one thing. And you know, it may be today in life you have only one thing wrong. Jesus said to the rich young ruler that came to him to ask him the way of eternal life, Jesus said to him afterwards when he asked about something else, about being perfect, he said, one thing you lack. Give all that you've got and give to the poor. There was said to be a famous painting of a young fella walking away from Jesus, just seeing the back of him. And it is said that the artist was so good that you could even feel the sadness just looking at the back of the young man that was walking away from Jesus. He had one thing to put right. It may be in life you've just got one thing to put right in your life today. It may be you have never really given your life to Jesus Christ. You don't really know him as Lord and Savior, and you want to make that one step. Oh, don't hesitate. Tonight is the night to make that one step for Jesus. I was in church as a youngster, and I was so scared they asked you to put your hand up if you wanted to give your life to Jesus. And I thought, they'll all see me. And I thought, I'm not going to do it. But I went back at night, and I prayed the prayer. And by my bedside, and I got into bed. I didn't feel any different. I would just be between 10 and 12 years of age. But I jumped out of bed, said exactly the same prayer. Please forgive me of my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I want you to take me to heaven. And then a tremendous peace came over me. Such was the peace that I've never worried about dying from that day to this, because when Jesus comes in, he gives such a wonderful peace. It's a marvelous thing. And you know, when people have really given their heart to Jesus, there's a big difference. I never used to tell other people what it was. But one thing I always looked for when somebody had given their heart to Jesus, were they reading the Bible? Were they praying? Ian Newton was a young fella that gave his heart to the Lord at 15 in our church. He brought his father for prayer, but it was him that got saved and healed. And Ian started reading his Bible. And one day his mother rang me up. They were not committed Christians. They said, can you have a talk with him? He's always reading his Bible. He's not doing his homework. He's got his GCSEs or whatever they were in those days. It's a few years ago. I knew he had become a Christian because he wanted to read the Bible. He wouldn't stop. And you know, that's the thing. When people really give their life to Jesus, they're reading the Bible. And that was the thing that Martha wasn't doing. She was not listening to Jesus. She was preparing the meals. Oh, we need to be reading the Bible. You see, it was a little issue that she was having. It was a small thing. It was a domestic. But the thing is this, in life, we don't know what problems we are going to face. There can be all sorts of problems in life. I know some of you have got big problems, some little problems, and some no problems. Keep it that way if you can. The thing is this, we never know what we're going to face in the future. And if she hadn't sought the solution then, she wouldn't have been able to deal with the big situation in the future. Because if you know your Bible, her brother died tragically and awfully. And there it was that she was able to cope with it, because she had obviously changed. She had started listening to what Jesus had to say. Oh, that's it. You can have great big problems in life you don't know about tomorrow. But she had taken the advice of Jesus. You know, that passage there ends without us knowing whether she did or she didn't. But when her brother died and Jesus came to her, she went out to him and she said, I believe that we will meet again in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. That was a lovely thing. She had assessed a Christian truth that we were going to rise again from the dead one day. That's a marvelous thing. But she said something else as well. And this, when she was talking, she just said, even now, you can. If you ask the Father, He will give it to you. She said, even now you can. So she not only realized that one day she would meet again all together in heaven, but she realized God could do things for her in the here and now. Mrs. Dawes was a lovely lady. She lived near our church, and she had been a Church of England person all of her life, but she had become arthritic and couldn't travel far, so she changed from becoming perhaps almost a high church Church of England to a Pentecostal church, but she enjoyed it. And we had good fellowship with the local Church of England anyway, so it was all right for her. But one day she said this. She gave a testimony, and this is what she said. She said, I always knew God, but I never knew he could answer prayers about gas bills and electric bills. She was a widow, and she discovered that God could do it today. And Martha was able to say, not only I believe in the resurrection, but I believe that you could still do it today. We don't know what life is going to throw at us. We don't know all the problems and the difficulties. We don't know about tomorrow. But as the hymn writer said, we just live from day to day because we know it's in his hands. He will care for us and look after us. I believe Martha left the pot, took it off the boil, and went and listened to Jesus. I've no proof of it. I'm speculating. But I do know this, that she had grasped the things of God. Her life changed. Oh, yes. Marvelous things. She was ready. Martha had put her priorities right. She got Jesus in the first place, not in the last place. One thing you lack. It may be that tonight there's somebody here that has one thing that is lacking. You might have been a Christian for many years. You might have been a person that has known the Lord for many years, but your life is in a turmoil. Your mind is in trouble. You've got so many anxieties and worries of family life, work life, you name it, all sorts of things. Maybe one thing you're lacking, to refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him first. And as was quoted this morning, all these things shall be added unto you. And if you've never started on the Christian road, this night is the night you can begin it. You can start out and follow Jesus tonight. You can make him the center of your life. There was an old man that was about to be burnt at the stake, way back just after Bible times. His name was Polycarp, and he was asked to curse Christ. They said, just curse Christ and we'll let you go. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I curse my Savior and Lord? So they had to put him to the stake. Would like to tell you today, I've served Jesus for many years. No, he has served me for many years. And it's been a blessing. I've enjoyed it. We've never gone without. He's cared for us, looked after us, solved all sorts of problems. I can recommend to you tonight that if you have been too taken up with the things of this life, and you've been worried about all sorts of things, give Jesus the priority tonight. Get your priorities right and say, Lord Jesus, I'll follow you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just come to you now. And we ask, Lord, for everyone here. There are people that have been following you for many years. And Lord, we need reminding again that even now you can. Oh Lord, solve our problems, deal with our difficulties. And there might be somebody saying, Lord, I've put lots of things first, and you're way down the list. but I'm putting you first today, first and foremost. Your word I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust you now.